The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here for the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And you know what we talk about? Yeah, fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And it looks like Mark has been able to hold on since the last hour. Mark in Reisterstown wants to talk about deer, and then we'll talk to Thomas on the Eastern Shore. Thank you, Brian. See you, Brian. Have a good Thanksgiving. Okay. Mark, you're up.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, brother?
I'm doing very good. I thoroughly enjoyed that story that you told about the deer hunt there with your grandson, and it led me to ask the question that I've long wanted to find the answer to, and that would be when you describe the size of a deer in terms of point size.
Yes, sir.
How you turn down a 6-point for an 11-point.
Mm-hmm.
How does that equate to in terms of, is that to the antlers or to the body size?
Now, that's the number of points on each antler in total. In other words, when he shot the 11 point, there were 6 points on the right side and 5 points on the left side. This deer had a lot of character. Its points were curvy. There was a little smaller type of point. It was about 3 inches long on both sides in between the main, the second point on the antlers, which is called the G2 and the G3, there was a kicker there. And then there was another point that came up beside the brow tine, which are the ones closest to the head. And just a lot of character on the rack, on the antlers. And it has nothing to do with the age of the deer. And when I said about the Sika deer don't get a branched antler till about 4 years of age, it depends on the genetics and it depends on the nutrition when it comes to deer, as far as the size of the antlers. You know, a year and a half old deer can have 4 points, 6 points, even 8 points sometimes. It can grow more points as it ages and matures and gets better nutrition. And it tends to add each, you know, they shed their antlers every year. I don't know if you knew that or not. But they drop those antlers every spring, and then they regrow through the summer into the fall.
And how long does it take you to get ready for a morning hunt? Because I've often heard you describe, you know, the ritual that you have to go through with getting all the scents.
Well, sure. I mean, you know.
What time do you have to get up in the morning to do a morning hunt?
Well, Mark, you got to let me answer one question at a time.
Okay.
Okay. Which one do you want to hear?
Whichever you choose.
Okay. How long does it take me to get ready for a hunt? Well, since I have my clothing already washed, I usually wash my clothing in scent-free detergent after I come home, so that's ready to go. I just have to determine what I want to wear for the day, depending on the temperature, whether it's raining, whether it's windy, whatever it might be. And then I pack all the extra stuff, the face masks, the gloves, the scent, and that type of thing in my pack usually. And so it takes a little bit of time to get ready for the morning hunt. How early do you get up to go? It depends on where you're hunting. If you're hunting around the corner, you know, you want to get there at least a half hour before legal shooting time. And legal shooting time is 1/2 hour before sunrise. So you want to get there at least an hour before sunrise. And you can check that on your phone or online or anywhere as far as what the sunrise and sunset schedule is for the day. So you've got to get there. You've got to get in your stand. You got to get quiet. You got to get your night vision, your night acuity vision ready to go. so you can spot something moving in low light, perhaps. And then, you know, you get prepared that way. So you get in the stand, you get quiet, you get all your stuff there. You try to get as scent-free as possible. You may take some scent killer spray or something like that. You might want to, you know, put some deer scent out, depending on the time of the year, whether that's an aerosol or whether that's a drag rag or a scent tag that you hang in a tree nearby to cover your scent or to attract a deer. And, you know, there's just not necessarily a science to it, but you got to play the wind. You got to know, you know, which way the wind's going for the day, and what happens if it varies. You know, there's just a lot of preparation to do that type of thing, especially for deer hunting. For waterfowl hunting, you know, it's a little different. You got to get up there early. You got to get your decoys in the field before daylight. You got to calculate the wind direction, so those geese or ducks are going to land into the wind. So you got to put your decoys out in a pattern that's going to allow a spot for those geese to land and you know, land into the wind and that type of thing. So there's a lot of preparation that goes into setting up on a hunt. How's that?
Well, you have a very interesting show. I love it. I listen to it every week.
Well, I thank
very
you for that.
I enjoy it very much, and I thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mark. You take care, buddy. There he goes. Happy Thanksgiving. And Thomas on the Eastern Shore. Good morning, Thomas. How are you?
Mr. Ellis, how you doing this morning?
Hey, it's Alan. How you doing, Thomas?
Good. Question for you. Me and Dad have had some interesting conversations about this recent story that surfaced mostly through social media, and that's about this fish kill that's going on in the Middle River area.
Okay.
Do you have any insight on that, Alan? I know there's been a lot of talk. There's been some politicians coming out and looking at it. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's going to turn into a big story. I don't know if you had any specific insight on, you know, where it stands right now.
No, I don't. What are they saying? I mean, what's the press saying?
Well, they found that pipe. They found an underground pipe coming from the Lockheed Martin plant.
Right.
That's been hidden underneath a fence.
Okay.
And now they're talking about upwards of 200,000 dead fish.
Wow. Okay.
And everybody wants to link it, you know, to this. You know, some people want to link it to this pipe that they found in one of the tributaries there from the Lockheed Martin plant.
Right.
You know, very interesting, you know, massive, massive fish kill. And, you know,
I don't really have a lot of information on it that's not been in the news media, but what are your thoughts on it?
Well, with having a biologist as a father, you know, he always wants to lean towards, you know, the natural aspects of a fish kill, which would be an algae bloom.
Right, which is possible.
Know. But with the magnitude of the kill and you know, without finding this pipe, you know, who knows? You know, are they doing something they shouldn't? Are they, you know, what's coming out of the pipe?
Well, I mean, that's a you know, hard to determine. Have you gone on the Maryland Department of the Environment website?
I have not. Yeah, I know the MDE has took samples of both the water.
Well, I have no doubt. Yeah,
and they took a test of what's out on you know, coming out of the pipe.
Right.
So you know, as an avid fisherman, you know, I just you know curious, you know what's going on over there.
Right. Yeah. What kind of fish are they?
Everything. I mean, it's killing everything across the board.
Yeah.
Mostly the larger fish. Some of the smaller fish are you know, surviving somewhat, but
right.
it's mostly a 100% kill across the board.
Yeah, you know, I know Scott Sewell's been involved in some of the press on that. Scott lives in that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been avid in restocking that area over there and that type of thing. And, you know, I don't know. He seems to think that it's not an accident. So, you know, I don't know. We'll have to hear from Scott. Maybe he's listening this morning. Maybe he's not. Maybe he can help us out here. But it looks like it's a pretty extensive area there. I mean, a lot of fish, largemouth, yellow perch, bluegills, crappie, chain pickerel, pumpkin seed, carp, killfish, I mean, which are, you know, basically bull minnows and menhaden. So, you know, we'll see how it pans out. And if somebody has killed those fish, somebody owes somebody a replacement. And, you know, I can't. Algae bloom is usually a summertime thing. Sometimes it comes after a thunderstorm, you know, increased temperatures and things like that. I mean, we had a little warm weather, but I don't think we had anything like this.
So. Right. And Scott Sewell's the one I'm following there on social media, and he's posting videos and pictures. You know, he's really avid in this,
in
this investigation.
Yep. Yep. And I know Scott listens from time to time, so we'll see what he says, if he calls in or not. So.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Let's talk to Julie in Hamilton. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Question will probably sound ignorant. One, because I know next to nothing about deer hunting, but your story about the 11-point.
Yes.
It just crossed my mind that an animal that avoided being hunted or brought down before and reached that level of maturity might be avoided only for breeding purposes for future generations of deer that they could produce. You know what I'm saying?
You mean don't shoot it because it's so genetically superior? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of in a way.
Yeah, well, Julie, let me stop you right there.
Okay.
There's no doubt that this deer had some great genetics, but I'm not going to prevent my 16-year-old grandson from taking, which might be his biggest deer ever. I'm not going to say, oh, don't shoot because we want to preserve this, we want to preserve the genetics of this animal. Not going to happen, because I know that we've got probably 14 or 15 different bucks on that property that are just as genetically superior, if not more so.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. I thought that this particular one was unusual.
No, he is not unusual. As a matter of fact, what I think probably chased him out of that patch of woods that he walked into was a larger, more mature animal that he might have encountered in there.
Okay, that's like I said when I called, I know next to nothing other than of listening to your show.
Sure.
The learning in process.
And this was a relatively young deer. I don't know that this deer was past 3.5 years of age. So,
which would have put him
at the peak he's arriving at the peak of the breeding cycle.
Right. But, I know you guys know what you're doing.
Yeah, indeed.
I don't know what I'm saying, but I was just curious as to that kind of aspect of, you know, breeding future animals that.
Well, did you or did you not hear me say that he passed up a 6-point buck prior to taking the 11-point?
You did. Yes, you
okay.
did. I heard
so
that.
He left that young deer to mature and grow and develop and become part of the. I mean, the 6-point was not a bad deer for a year and a half old deer, but he's got a lot of potential and he's got a lot of good genetics. And
I don't want you to think I'm criticizing you.
No, not at all. But you know, as you said, you're speaking from a position of not knowing, and I'm trying to not just speak to you, Julie, of course, but I'm trying to put that out there for the rest of the audience that may be in a similar position as you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Really, I really do.
Sure.
I learned a little something more out of ignorance. Thank you so much.
All right, Julie. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Challenge me anytime you like.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. Bye bye. Yep. All right. Hey, there's Rudy. Let's talk to Rudy. Good morning, Rudy. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm calling regarding the fish kill.
Talk to me.
Okay. Before I got involved with bycatch mortality and catch and release mortality, I spent like 25 years doing fish kill research for the state.
Yes.
That was my original job.
I know.
When?
Yes, sir.
And what I learned over those 25 years is you look for certain patterns in fish kills to guide your investigation.
Right.
You look for things like whether or not the fish kill was species-specific, only one species involved, did it involve multiple species. And you also look at whether or not the fish kill was acute, did it occur like overnight, or was it a prolonged fish kill.
Okay.
And what I'm seeing and hearing, again, I was not involved in this, but
right.
the circumstantial evidence involving multiple species over a very quick time usually would lead me to look for some kind of pollutant.
Okay.
Toxin, I should say toxin. It could be a natural toxin from some algae, which do produce toxins, or it could be a man-made pollutant.
Okay.
Having a really quick fish kill involving multiple species, disease is usually manifested by a specific species of fish dying over a prolonged time.
Right, and we do have a largemouth bass disease out there, but this seems to be like an overnight deal with hundreds of thousands of fish. So
yes, and hundreds of thousands of fish of different species. To me, I would look for some kind of a toxin. Again, it could be a natural toxin, or it could be a man-related toxin, but I certainly would, you know, if I was doing the investigation, and I know the gentleman who does fish kill investigations, now a very close personal friend, a very competent man, if he says something, I'm going to tend to believe it, because I'm not personally involved.
Right, right. Well, I understand that, and I don't know if that guy was named here. Let's see.
I was looking at Scott Sewell's, you know, post and everything on fishing message board, and I didn't see his name mentioned. But there's at least two or three people that are involved these days in fish kill investigations for MDE.
Right. And MDE is the source for this, not DNR.
That's correct.
MDE is the investigative arm, Maryland Department of the Environment. And, of course, they want to solve this, too, because how does this affect, you know, everything else downstream from it, you know? So,
exactly.
Yeah. And so the pipe in the article is not even mentioned. I guess that's a Lockheed Martin pipe that's, you know, hidden behind a fence, according to the caller. It may be something on social media that I'm seeing. It's not reported on the Sun article or CBS Baltimore. Excuse me, that would be Channel 13. It's not reported there, and I don't know much more about it than that. I haven't been following it, unfortunately. But it looks like a lot of game fish. It doesn't look like it's. It's like one species specific or something like that. One thing we know it's not, Rudy.
Thinking Fisteria?
Absolutely.
No, it's not.
I know. Not Fisteria, folks. Do not worry that this is a Fisteria hoax disease outbreak again. So,
although to get back, it could be toxin from an algae bloom, certainly, but not Fisteria, correct.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, Rudy, I appreciate that. How you been?
I've been well. Been
good.
Well. And you?
Good. Have you been hunting?
No, I have not been hunting, but had some great fishing trips. Wife and I went to Costa Rica early October.
Oh, great.
Had a great, great trip.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing your insight, Rudy, on that. And so you're saying it could be, it's more than likely a toxin, could be natural, could be man-made, and let's keep up the investigation. So
that's correct.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Hey, next time on Ken Allen, stop by, give me a call.
All right, Rudy. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes, Rudy Lukakovich, formerly DNR. Bot fisheries biologist. So how about that? Hey, you know what? I got to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. Let's talk waterfowl hunting since this is the first day of the Canada goose season, the migratory bird season. Let's take a look at the Gold Light 10 gauge. Now look, the Gold Light is a gas operated auto loader. Comes in a 3.5 inch chamber. It's got a composite stock. It's got that DuraTouch armor coating that helps prevent rust. Mossy oak camo standard on this Gold Light 10 gauge from Browning. Then, of course, we've got the Maxis. The Maxis is a tremendous shotgun. It's an autoloader shotgun. Let's just say it's waterfowl hunting perfection. Comes in 3 and 3.5 inch chamber models, if you like that. It's got the new Browning power gas drive system that reduces recoil, and it really handles nicely. And then there's the A5, and I will own an A5 one of these days. The most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. Comes with 100,000 round, 5-year guarantee. The kinematic drive system is a recoil-operated drive system. It's ergo balance, which means it fits in your hand and comes to your shoulder smoothly and nicely. It's got the Vector Pro lengthened forcing cones, comes in 12 gauge. It's also available in camo and black synthetic models. That's the A5. The hump is back, that's for sure, from Browning. All this at Hunting Headquarters, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's Clyde's Sports Shop. The website is clydesports.com. They're open 7 days a week, all major credit cards. The number, 410-242-6108. Complete gunsmithing services, cleaning, scopes, mounting, bore sighting, you name it. 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. Hey, bologna. I mean, deer bologna in 5 flavors, mild to spicy, with or without cheese. deer hot dogs, deer jerky, applewood deer bacon, smoked deer hams, whole or chip, deer burger patties, barbecue snack sticks. Are you getting hungry yet? At M&G Wild Game Processing in Westminster, your deer can be made into all these tasty specialties. M&G Wild Game Processing can skin and cut your deer just the way you like it. And all your venison cuts are vacuum sealed. They can skin and cape your deer for mounting with taxidermy services provided by Pools Taxidermy. M&G Wild Game Processing offers convenient 24-hour drop-off, and they're open 7 days a week for pickup. M&G is located behind Bullock's Restaurant on Route 32 near Route 97, 2020 Sykesville Road in Westminster. The website is mgprocessing.com, and the phone number is 443-375-7138. If you live in Central Maryland, you're searching for a deer processor, your hunt is over. Call 443-375-7138 for M&G Wild Game Processing. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Hey, hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor, fill out the entry card, that's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
Your hands start shaking. Your heart gets to pumping. Your knees get to knocking. And your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rap, that grunt, that stare, that stomp will make you a believer. And buck fever.
That's why we do it. That's why we do what we do. That old buck fever, man, that's a primal thing when you experience that, when you see that critter. I'm telling you what. If you don't react and it doesn't cause an excitement, I get it every time. Makes experience just the exclamation point on the sentence, that's for sure. All right. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 if you want to get in the muzzleloader contest and win a CVA muzzleloader from the folks at CVA at CVA.com. You can check them out online and drool and dream about your next muzzleloader, and you could win one right here. All you got to do is call us, 410-922-6680. We'll take your name and number. Bethany will take your name and phone number. You go on the air, yep, and talk with me. Just say hi, or I just want to get in contest. You don't have to make it an extended conversation. You can ask a question, make a comment, either way. But that's how you get in the contest. 410-922-6680. 410-WCBM-680 is our phone number. The Maryland Natural Resources police officers charged three hunters for wildlife violations in incidents that occurred across the state. While on patrol on Thurmont last Sunday, officers saw fresh deer meat in front of a barn on Pantera Manor Lane. When questioning residents, Anthony Alvi Keeney, 31, of Woodsboro, said the two bucks were killed by someone else in Pennsylvania. He showed officers the heads and the hides of the two deer. One was a six-point buck and one was a broken antlered spike. Officers told Keeney that the two deer would be considered illegally taken under Pennsylvania game law. Laws and transportation of the carcasses across the state line would be considered a violation of federal laws as well. Keeney then acknowledged that he killed both deer 2 days earlier. Officers seized the heads and the hides. He was charged with hunting without a license and two counts of failing to report a kill. Keeney also received seven warnings. He's scheduled to appear in Frederick District Court on January 6th. If he's found guilty, he could be fined a maximum of $4,500. The question is, will he be fined $4,500? Since there's no mandatory poaching penalty in Maryland, we don't know. We don't know. And you know what? The Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act talks about, of 2012, talks about penalizing ne'er-do-well poachers. By suspension and revocation of their licenses for up to 5 years. But guess what? Here's Mr. Keeney hunting without a license. What good is it going to do to suspend and revoke his license since he doesn't have one? So what would teach Mr. Keeney not to go out and illegally poach deer? My answer is going to come to you after January 6th. Let's see how Mr. Keeney gets, let's see what penalties he faces. Oh, we never hear the follow-up, do we? They never report back unless it's some major poaching ring that gets broken up or a bunch of watermen that get caught with, you know, tons of illegal rockfish. The slap on the wrist, we don't hear about those. That's about to change. Also on Sunday, officers on patrol in Allegheny County received a tip that someone had shot two deer and was butchering them behind a home off Route 936 in Frostburg. Officers found Brian Andrew Lewis, 28 years old, of Lona Coning, at the residence and asked to see the deer. He acknowledged killing the deer. He was charged with hunting without a license again, possessing untagged deer parts. Officers seized the venison and donated it to a charitable program. Lewis is scheduled to appear in Allegheny District Court January 14th. If convicted of both charges, he faces a maximum fine of $3,000. Let's see if that's what he gets charged, because it's totally up to the discretion of the judge. No mandatory poaching penalty. Pennsylvania man was issued four citations and two warnings for hunting violations by officers responding to a report of a shot fired on Putnam Road in Harford County. On November 8th, citizens reported a man dressed in camouflage and carrying a rifle walk out of the woods. When officers arrived, they saw David Anthony Sebastiani, 30, of Oxford, and another man in a utility vehicle with a recently killed eight-point buck in the vehicle's bed. Sebastiani admitted to shooting the deer and showed officers a loaded rifle and an unloaded rifle in the trunk of his truck. He received citations for hunting during a closed season, hunting with a rifle in a shotgun-only county, having a loaded firearm in his car, and failing to have a hunter safety certificate. He received warnings for hunting without written permission, obtaining a hunting license by fraudulent means. Sebastiani is scheduled to appear in Harford District Court on January 6th. If he's found guilty of all charges, he faces a maximum penalty of $6,000. Once more, I question, will he be fined $6,000? Will he lose his rifles? Will his utility vehicle be seized because that was what contained the illegally gotten deer? Well, let's try to answer some of these questions. Will we? Should we? Do we? Who knows? Like I said, rarely do we get a follow-up on these individual cases. Rarely do the Natural Resources Police report the results. I wonder why. Well, we have a We have a little theme music for those type of violators, those poachers, those game thieves, those people that steal deer and other wildlife from the landscape, and here it is.
Just the good old boys, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, lightening the hills.
I hate poachers. I
someday
really hate them.
The mountain might get them, but the law never will.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. The Maryland Hunting Coalition.
Making their way.
We're going to address this issue in a major way at the General Assembly 2016. Maryland Hunting Coalition, MD, huntingcoalition.org. We'll be up there soon enough. We're on it. We're on it big time. If you hate poaching as much as I do, send me an email. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Yep. And we ask for your support from the Maryland Hunting Coalition to drive this initiative through. mdhuntingcoalition.org. You can make a contribution right online if you like. Send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. You got a poaching situation at your home or on the land where you hunt. You encountered poachers. You've had deer that you found with their heads cut off or parts missing, and you're just, you know it's some lawbreaker. I want to hear from you. ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Let's talk to Ben in Catonsville. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, Ben.
I'm Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Well, 2 years ago, I talked to you, and I said I was going to go fishing, and I did. So I went fishing with my dad, and I just want to talk to about it.
Okay.
My dad and I I really, really wanted to go fishing. So we went fishing with my brother and my dad.
Yeah.
And we were just waiting for a fish to go by.
Right.
And get caught on our hook.
Yeah.
So, I had to look at Robert for something, and my dad said that a fish, like the bobber went up and down.
Oh boy.
Like if like a fish is on it.
Yeah.
And then I looked. And then the fish got away, and then I was like, "No, why?"
Very traumatic, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So then, what happened?
We tried again, and apparently we failed.
Oh no!
And we just went back home, and then, it was fun, though.
Well, at least you had a fun time. Now, have you been fishing since?
I really want to go shooting. Like, that's...
How old are you, Ben? How old are you, Ben?
I am 9 years old.
Okay. Well, I think that's good. I mean, you probably heard the story about my grandson, and he's been involved in the outdoors as far as fishing and hunting since he was a little kid. And you know, it's great that you got to go, but we hope that you get to go again here real soon. I want you to call me when you finally catch a fish. Okay.
Okay.
All right, buddy. You have a great Thanksgiving. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Ben. Bye bye. There he goes. How about that? Isn't that great, folks? Isn't that great? Hey, the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It's a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fishery Service for every recreational angler in Maryland. Eligible fish include all game fish from sea to shining lake. Exactly. From the Atlantic to Deep Creek to the rivers to the streams to the ponds to the bay, it's all out there. And it's almost 70 species of fish in five different categories. Freshwater, Chesapeake Bay and tidal, Atlantic coast, catch and release, even invasive species. The youth division is also connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club for kids like Ben, who can get connected to that online. If you catch a fish of a notable specified size, you get your official angler award certificate. You also get an invitation to the grand finale event next September, and you could win some very good prizes. I mean, great prizes. Yep, this past year, or this year, 2015, Bass Pro Shops and Tracker Marine provided a boat package. There was Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shop and Bill's Outdoor Center, and much more, even cash. That's right. Now's not the time to stay indoors. Get out there a little bit. This cold weather, those fish are really biting. Feeding up for winter. Hungry. Ready to bite. Ready to eat. Go fish. Official rules are online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Get out there.
After a dry start to the weekend, an approaching cold front may trigger a few showers tonight, but it will be dry for to be out early on this Saturday, clear this morning. There are a few clouds will drift in later this afternoon with a high warming up to 54. Tonight, a cloudy sky with a slight chance for a shower as that front moves in will drop to 42. And then cooler air settles in on Sunday. Tomorrow, there will be breaks in the clouds with a high of 47. Some dry conditions leading ahead to Monday. The cooling trend will carry over. It will be a sunny day with a high temperature reaching 45. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back. How about that? Just real quick, I want to tell you about Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They are your hunting headquarters with everything you need for the upcoming season and the current season as well. Let's talk about waterfowl since it's the first day of goose season today. The A5. The hump is back. 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. Kinematic drive system on this wonderful reissuance of the A5 shotgun. There's the Gold Light 10-gauge for waterfowl, too. Gas-operated autoloader, 3.5-inch chamber for those shooters who like that heavier 10-gauge shotgun. It's all yours. The BPS is also available. That's a pump-action shotgun in 10-gauge. Comes in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and even 12 and 20-gauge deer models as well. It's a bottom ejection pump shotgun and comes in the Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo finish. There's the Maxis shotgun, autoloader, waterfowl, hunting perfection. And let me remind you again about the A-Bolt 3. The AB3 is a package deal. You will not find a better package for a high-powered rifle anywhere. The A-Bolt 3 comes with a 3-9 Redfield scope, comes in its own ABS hard case, and it's a great rifle. Comes in all the in selected standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers, something that you can use for deer, from a 243 to a 270 to an .06 to a 308 to a 7mm mag to a 300 Win mag, all available on the A-Bolt 3. Check it out at Clyde Sports Shop, again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Phone number there, 410-242-6108. The website is ClydeSports.com. Check them out for your needs for anything you need for hunting, and you've got it at Clyde's Sport Shop. Hey, folks, Pocomoke Sound oysters are now available in the shell or by the pint at NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie. And NBS Seafood has plenty of their own delicious frozen soft crabs to enjoy this fall. NBS is your Louisiana connection with live crabs, live crayfish, gator tail nuggets, and gator sausage. Now, NBS Seafood carries fresh fish, jumbo Gulf shrimp, scallops, fresh crab meat, and a variety of other seafood items. And they have the spice to make your seafood taste great. Did you know NBS also has pasture-raised, antibiotic-free dressed chickens? Stop by and see NBS Seafood or call 410-271-3202. NBS is open Thursday, Friday, and Monday from 2 to 6 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from noon till 6, and accepts Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash. 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, next to Jim Donnie RV. Any questions, please call 410-271-3202 for NBS. That's No Bull Stuff Seafood. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Deer Hunters, the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns this season. By donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. And you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through any FHFH deer processor and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back. Let's talk to, let's see, who do we got here next? Don in Stony Beach and then Betsy. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning. I hope my battery holds up.
Oh, buddy, I'm sorry to keep you waiting so long.
I want to give you a quick fishing report and enter the contest,
sure.
But I just have to make a comment about your previous caller and the, let's say, the excitement and the interest in your voice.
Yes.
You're lucky enough to be a grandfather who has had the opportunity to take a grandchild out on the boat or
yep.
take them hunting.
Yep.
And it's just, what a wonderful experience. And it takes a little bit of effort sometimes and some patience, but, my God, you'll be able to think about that and remember those experiences for the rest of your life.
If you go hunting with your kids, you won't. Oh, Don dropped. I guess his battery died. I just wanted to say, if you go hunting with your kids, you won't be hunting for your kids. Let's talk to Betsy in Mechanicsville. Good morning, Betsy. How are you?
Well, good morning, Alan. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Just wanted to get in the contest. And
you got
wanted
it.
To tell you again what a wonderful job you did on the ad in the Maryland Hunting Journal.
Oh, Dad. Betsy ran an ad for her... for her house in Florida. And
yeah.
I guess you've gotten a couple of calls from folks here in Maryland that want to retire to Chattahoochee, huh?
Yeah, I guess they would prefer to hunt where there's no snow.
Yeah, well, that makes sense to me, that's for sure.
You know, walk out on the back porch with a nice cup of warm coffee and survey the deer and turkey population.
Yep, and then go get them. Yep.
There you go.
Exactly,
you
on go. page 14. I guess your realtor's gotten some calls, or you've gotten some calls, and
the realtor has.
Yeah, and it looks like you might have even, well, you're going to see somebody at least that's going to come down from Maryland and see that house, right?
Yeah, that's what we're looking forward to.
That's great. That's great. Beautiful,
anyway.
Beautiful house from everything I've seen on the pictures that you sent to design the ad. I mean, it's a gorgeous house. It's 21 acres altogether, 22 acres, something
22.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It was designed, you know, to be the last home, so
sure.
You know, just didn't work out that way, so I hope somebody else enjoys it as much as we did.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right, and of course we'll mention it here for you. Indeed, and the price on this thing is right. If I were ready to retire, I'd be looking at this thing. I mean, you're talking about a tremendous house and acreage. For a price here that you can't get a townhome for.
Yeah, and up here, you know, of course down there, prices still haven't recovered.
Right.
You know, pretty depressed area, but a beautiful home. You know, everything's custom on it. It was built from the ground up. My husband was an engineer, so, you know, he wanted it done right.
Yeah, exactly. And the separate three-car garage with the apartment over top. I mean, this is perfect. For anybody looking for a great place to retire to, no question.
Yeah, and if you train dogs or if you have a lot of dogs, you know, we've got 7 custom kennels out there, and if you train, you can always have people coming in that use the apartment while they're there working with their dog with you.
Good grief. All right, Betsy, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Same to you, and good luck. I know you'll miss having your grandson with you.
Oh, man, you're not kidding.
Maybe you'll get that 12-pointer.
That's a possibility. Well, I thank you for that. We'll talk to you soon.
You take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There goes Betsy. There we go. Let's see. Who do we got? George on the Eastern Shore. Good morning, George. How are you?
Okay, Alan, how are you?
I'm good.
Hey, got a question for you. I was wondering why they have the different a bow one week and muzzleloader the next week and shotgun the next, all that. Why do they have the deer hunting season set up that way?
It's all about opportunities. It's all about different opportunities for different hunters. The bow hunting season actually runs all the way from this year, September 11th to January 31st. The difference is if you're hunting in the muzzleloader season, you must wear your orange. Or if you're hunting in the rifle season or the firearm season, as it were, you have to wear your hunter orange because there are people with firearms and muzzleloaders out there as well, and they want you to be seen. But the deer, if you don't check one in with an, you know, under archery, you check it in as a muzzleloader kill or a firearms kill. The muzzleloader season is to give the muzzleloader hunters an opportunity, and of course, it all has to do with overall deer population management. Just to give people as many varied opportunities and different outdoorsmen with different interests. And, you know, some people may only be able to hunt the muzzleloader season. Some people may only be able to hunt the firearm season. Bow hunters may hunt, all year long. And it's just all about increasing recreational opportunities for hunters in Maryland.
Yeah, well, I could see it for safety reasons or something, maybe to have different seasons like that, but it seems to me if you're interested in reducing the deer population, why don't they just let people hunt any way they want to hunt?
I understand that, and that's been proposed every time there's a regulatory process, George. I understand it. But here's the thing. If you're a bow hunter, this time of year right now, the first couple of weeks of November, is the whitetail buck rut. That's the best time of the year to take a large antlered animal, all right? So the bow hunters are, why should somebody with a firearm be, and I'm, look, your proposal is, has credence as well, no question about it. But the bow hunters would rebel against the Department of Natural Resources if there were people out there with high-powered rifles and shotguns hunting during the rut. So they give those bow hunters a great opportunity to take a great animal. Firearms hunters have the same opportunity for 2 weeks in the fall. And because firearms are a little more effective at longer ranges for deer, and we take the bulk of our deer with firearms here in Maryland, the season is limited to those 2 weeks. The muzzleloaders, we don't take nearly as many deer. And if you get a copy of the deer report or any of the management stuff, you'll see that the different seasons have different management numbers in them. So that's the reason.
In other words, so they give the bow hunters the first opportunity.
They do. That's right. That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, they give the bow hunters the first opportunity, start this year, September 11th, and then the first muzzleloader season doesn't come until, I don't think, around the 20th ballpark of October. So the bow hunters have a month, and then the muzzleloader people have 3 days and another week to take antlerless deer, and then the bow hunters have the rut, and then the firearms hunters have the colder weather, and also have the second part of the rut to take their deer, and then the muzzleloaders come back for 2 weeks, and then the bow hunters from there to the end of the year. It's a little harder to take a deer with a bow than it is with a firearm. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Got to move along. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Camo Preacher. Good morning, Camo. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Alan?
Good. Real quick.
Yes, sir. The poaching thing, man. I'm going to send you an email, but there's a story I think about firsthand. I was down in Deal, Maryland a couple years ago.
Yep.
Just outside of Queen Anne's. And
yep.
My friend and I, who were hunting, were on our way to our spot, and we turned a corner and found about 9 deer laying on the side of the road.
Wow.
The only thing missing were their back straps.
That's awful.
They weren't gutted. They were just laying there.
That's awful.
Like there was a convention, and they dropped right where they were.
Send me that email.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
I mean, 2 of the heads were missing. It's obvious why that would occur,
good
but
grief.
None of them were gutted. All of them had their back straps removed.
That's horrible.
Just laying there on the side. I get furious every time I think about it.
We need that email, buddy. Send it out.
Yes, sir, I will.
All right, thanks.
Stay on it. Appreciate
you. Hey, we're working on it. See ya.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. Here we go. And Roxanne, good morning. How are you, Roxanne?
Hey, just fine, Alan. Good to talk to you.
Hey, good to talk to you. How you been?
I've been busy.
I guess you have.
Just did a managed hunt with Bo a couple of weeks ago down at Blossom Point.
Yeah.
That was a very successful
Yeah.
day.
How's the leg? How's the knee?
Knee is much, much better.
Good. Are you running again?
Yes, I am.
Blazing Camo Day plus Pink and Camo Day, February 4th. We hope you're there again this year.
Well, I'll probably be there for Blazing, but, you know, I'm running short on holidays and vacations.
Yeah,
so.
What's, I mean, Blazing Camo Day, Pink and Camo Day, it's all the same day.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to pick what hat you want to wear.
Yeah, I don't have a pink one, so. Well,
there you go.
There we go.
Great.
In fact, it just amazes everybody that I have anything pink at all. I show up in a pink shirt and everybody, like, falls over.
Ah, it's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm calling to see if I can get into the muzzle.
You're in. You're in.
I appreciate it. Just want to say hi. Thank you. And a friend of mine, Franny, called me. She had picked up an older edition of the magazine from the spring where you
yeah.
had all the pictures in there from Blazing Camo. And I missed that.
Oh, wow. Send me an email, Roxanne. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'll see if I can get one to you. Just put your address in there and we'll take care of that.
All right, appreciate that. Thank you very much. And a buddy of mine is going to be emailing you about poacher. He's having some issues with down his property in Bowie's Quarters.
Beautiful. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Keep them coming.
You got it. All right.
All right.
Great talking to
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Roxanne.
Take care. Be safe.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. We need to take a break.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know, Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
Hey, hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus Junior Hunt Days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor, fill out the entry card, that's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.